Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Brewers fans, thank you for making the switch after the last pitch to this show. Welcome to the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are #Admirals50. Now, live from the Fan Postgame Studios, here's the franchise, Tim Allen, and Bill Baby Tausch Schmid.
Half of that duo, it's Baby Tausch, Bill Schmid, Jeff Orlowski, the Polish pipe bomb in here as well, and a Brewers loss as they can't complete the sweep to the Arizona Diamondbacks, a 5-2 loss in Game 3 before that first-place team from St. Louis comes in. Welcome on in. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Appreciate you hanging out. Leaving Miller Park, 414-799-1250, the phone number, live at 1057FMTheFan.com, the Wendy's Fresh and Ever Frozen inbox. You can also tweet us at 1057FMTheFan. One of these weekends in baseball, and I got to ask the question of the uniforms, got into it a little bit earlier today with Bart Winkler. I think the all-whites were tremendous. A lot of people will disagree. And the Brewers, though, despite what they were wearing, unable to capitalize, yes, but also be able to put themselves in big-time positions as well. An issue in today's game. They had their chances, though, as they lose a tough one 5-2 today with seven hits in an error. The Brewers had their shot, and it starts and ends with starting pitching, especially when you're unable to get the game-changing kinds of performances that Zach Davies was able to give you earlier on in the year. Zach Davies, ever since coming back, guys, just has not seen the results that you expected or that we had come accustomed to seeing earlier on in the year. And I think that's one of the toughest parts that this team has had to withstand here in the last couple of weeks. You clumped together this last six-week stretch, and Jeff Orlowski here and Evan Heffelfinger as well, Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. You look at where you've been in the last 6 weeks fighting through the Woodruff injury, the Chacin injury that ends up with him being DFA'd yesterday. And without Zach Davies in the mix and what Zach Davies was able to give you the first 3 months of the year, Jeff, you just haven't seen it in the last two, and it's been difficult for you to withstand this situation of all these guys being down, especially when a guy that doesn't throw all that hard has been unable to keep the ball in the ballpark.
Yeah, it wasn't all that long ago where the debate was, who is your ace? Is it Brandon Woodruff? Is it Zach Davies? Now, obviously, you got Woodruff on the injured list, and he's still a little ways from coming back. And Zach Davies is not pitching like the ace that that he was earlier. You know, you got to be thankful if you're a Brewers fan that at least you have Adrian Hauser, who is able to settle into this rotation and definitely plug a hole. But without Zach Davies delivering, you're still behind the eight ball.
And it's funny that we are having this conversation at the end of August, because if you would have told me that Zach Davies would have been the key cog in the rotation, being able to withstand the dog days of summer when we were breaking camp at the end of March, I would have laughed at you.
Right.
He was the fifth option in that situation. I mean, you weren't necessarily thinking that he was going to be giving you 30 starts, and you're going with the three young dudes, Chacin, Chase Anderson was bumped to the bullpen so Zach Davies could be in there, and has started out the year strong. 7-0 was the start for Zach Davies, and just has not been able to continue the success that he started out the year with, a 5-2 loss. And the dangerous part about the loss here, guys, is it's a 5-5 game down at Wrigley Field. They're going to the bottom of the ninth inning. You're going to have the St. Louis Cardinals coming in here for a pivotal three-game stretch. You get six more against the Cards, seven against those Cubs. And right now, it's a 6-2 Cardinal lead in the top half of the third inning. You're in a danger period of, right now, you're going to be about four and a half games back after the results tonight. And however well you've started to play, or you're feeling like you're bouncing back with winning four or three in a row after losing the 6 of 8, you're still in the situation where every single night you have to watch and hope that somebody else is going to give you help in this last 31-game stretch. It's a situation all teams go through in professional sports when you're trying to climb your way back. We saw the Brewers for a lot of last year be in the driver's seat, right? We saw the Milwaukee Bucks be in the driver's seat this year, and you're cautiously looking behind you. It's a little bit more unsettling, I think, when you're looking back at somebody. Instead, when you're the Brewers, you're walking into a game like today just saying, we got to win and we'll see how we wake up tomorrow morning. Well, you're going to wake up tomorrow morning, possibly 4.5 games back, Jeff, and welcoming in that team that could really be putting their foot on the throat this weekend.
Yeah, they could. This is such a pivotal stretch with the games against the Cubs and the Cardinals for the Brewers. They can find themselves, you know, if everything goes perfect, they can find themselves atop the division. If everything goes, you know, the opposite way, they can find themselves out of it. And a lot of it comes down, and if you listen to the On Deck Show, fine program earlier today here on The Fan, Craig Counsell today was talking about the fact that the Brewers have been scoring a bunch of runs early and putting pressure on the opposing pitchers and taking heat off of their own pitchers, and what a huge difference that makes in these last few games. They get behind the eight ball again today early, and you see what happens. You know, they're down 2-0 after one, and, you know, they never bounce back. It's brutal. It's brutal.
It's a tough stretch when you get onto the mound or you get up to the plate and you're already down 1-0 or 2-0 in particular of today. And after Zach Davies unable to work out of that first inning scoreless, you knew it was going to be one of these games that you were going to grind out. At a point, though, tonight, or today, I should say, it wasn't the feeling that you've had in some of these games where it's a 5-0 game and it feels like it's 10-0. You knew the Brewers were going to be able to have their chances, and they did. And good teams tend to put on pressure late in games, be able to attack other teams' bullpens and have their opportunities. The Brewers, as we'll find out here in the game recap, had chances to tie the game and the tying runner at the dish, and nobody else you would rather have in the ninth inning. All the way back when this thing started at 1:10, as we turn into a 4-hour game, Rob Manfred, not a fan. It starts with Zach Davies, and after Marte would reach on an infield single, Davies would settle up, get the next two hitters to get out, and then it would be Christian Walker, who was a thorn in the side of the crew all weekend long. They were only able to get him out, Jeff, 3 times in 3 games.
Yeah, that's bad.
Three times in 3 games.
You know, between the walks, the long balls, you know, Christian Walker had himself one hell of a series.
He blasts one 438 feet out, and it's 2-0 D-backs after a half inning of play. Back-to-back strikeouts to start out the bottom of the first. Christian Yelich would reach with a single, and Ryan Braun makes it back-to-back hits before Yasmani Grandal ends the threat in the first. Neither team scores in the second. Third, same situation. Brewers have a chance with a one-out walk to Keston Hira, and Christian Yelich would ground out as the crew started that inning with the top half of the order. In the top half of the fourth inning, that's when it would start to get busted open by Arizona. As Drubal Escobar, he would start it out with a solo shot and a double then by Christian Walker. A walk, and the first three hitters have reached. It's already 3-0 Diamondbacks, and Nick Ahmed grounding into a fielder's choice, scoring another, makes it 4-0 after 3.5 innings of play. And here in the bottom half of the fourth inning was... this inning was one of the longest innings of all of baseball I think I've ever seen. And you come out of it in a situation where you make Robbie Ray, Diamondbacks starting pitcher for today, work extremely hard. I mean, he had to have thrown about 37 pitches in that inning. And you leads off with a double. Yasmani Grandal would strike out in a long at bat. Mike Moustakas earns himself a walk, and you got guys sitting at first and second for Manny Pena. And Orlando Arcia drawing a two-out walk, loading him up with Trent Grisham an opportunity, hitting for Zach Davies. You really had to go and get Zach Davies at that position, right?
Yeah, you had to. You knew that your offense, it wasn't looking good. And so you had to take advantage of, you know, try to take advantage of any
right.
opportunity that you got.
And those are the toughest positions in the National League to be in when you know that you're needing a little bit of depth, a little bit of length from your starter with a pivotal series coming up with St. Louis. Brewers go to the bullpen, and Trent Grisham grounds out to short, and the Brewers leave them loaded in the fourth. Diamondbacks right back at it in the fifth. They score on a Tim LaCastro infield single and an error by Keston Hira. This one was, I believe, a double error that they could have scored against Keston Hira. They give the infield single, the throwing error, allowing Marte to score all the way from first.
Yeah, he's still struggling out in the field. And, you know, thank God that his bat is as well, you know, doing as well as it is. And Keston Hira, obviously, still batting over 300. So, you know, you'll take that, but he's got to get better in the field, and he will. But, you know, it's tough to watch sometimes.
Devin Williams, the pitcher there in the top half of the fifth inning, he ends up loading up the bases, but gets Nick Ahmed to strike out, ends the threat. One run, three hits, and an error for the Diamondbacks in that inning. And you go to the bottom half of the fifth with Robbie Ray still in the game. Three up, three down with the top of the order up again. You started three different innings with the top of the order, unable to convert, three up, three down. And at that point, you started to sink in a tough feeling for Brewers fans as we skip ahead and the Brewers would finally get themselves on the board. The bottom half of the seventh inning, it's our drive of the game here on the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Manny Pena puts the Brewers on the board.
Manny Pena to left. Gave this one a ride. And there's the start you were looking for in the seventh inning. Manny Pena with his seventh home run. And the Brewers are finally on the board.
And maybe a little bit of a start to something big for the Brewers.
Yeah, you were hoping, Rock, that it would be a start to something big for the crew. Drive of the game brought to you by Wrench & Go. Need auto parts? Wrench & Go is a self-service yard. Bring your own tools and access the lowest-priced auto parts around with Wrench & Go. Manny gives himself an opportunity. He would have another opportunity in the eighth inning to tack on. Brewers would go then quietly after the Pena leadoff homer. And it would be just one run on one hit for the crew. Back at it in the bottom half of the eighth inning after a scoreless frame from Drew Pomeranz. Man, did he look good tonight in a scoreless set there in the eighth. Keston Hira leads it off with a double. Christian Yelich follows it up with a single. And Ryan Braun nearly gets that three-run shot.
Braun to right field. LaCastro makes the catch in front of the wall. It's going to play to run, and the Brewers now within 5-2.
Right, they've hit a lot of baseballs hard off of this guy.
Now, Jeff, we were listening to the ball game, and hearing Uke in that situation, we all will poke a little bit of fun at Bob, and I think it's sad in the sense of, you know, he is obviously getting up there in years, and we understand anytime you get to hear Bob Uke, it's going to be legendary, and you love every opportunity you do. But this one, we know Bob has a little bit of trouble tracking the baseball. He knew exactly where that one was, and he thought it was the three-run shot the Brewers were waiting for.
Oh, yeah. Oh. You know, I jumped out halfway out of my seat, and it was like, oh, he caught it?
And that takes a lot.
Yes, it does. It takes a lot of energy and effort on my part.
Right, not about to just jump out for no reason. The sac fly would score a run, makes it 5-2, and that's where it would end. But the Brewers continued the threat. Yelich to second on a steal. Grandal would walk, and then it becomes a matchup game as Chafin would come in, strike out Eric Thames, get the job done as he pinch hit for Drew Pomeranz. Then Archie Bradley comes in, and the Brewers unable to convert. Manny Pena has two on with two outs and lines out to center. But Archie Bradley had to work today against the crew. He throws over 40 pitches in a four-out save for the D-backs, and the Brewers had their opportunity in the ninth inning as well. Corey Spangenberg with a deep double into left gives the Brewers the first man on. Lorenzo Cain ground out would move Spangenberg to third. And here is really, I think, the turning point of the game when you look at where the opportunity in that ninth inning was. And the turning point brought to you by Great Lakes Dragway. Check out all events and track rentals at greatlakesdragway.com. It's a 2-1 count on Lorenzo Cain. And I don't like poking fun at the umpires. That's a lie. I definitely do. But when you look at the night that was had behind the dish, Lance Barstow, I mean, dude, you got to figure it out. That thing wasn't even close on the 2-1 pitch. Calls it a strike inside, way at least 4 inches off the plate to Lorenzo Cain. And it changes the entire at-bat. You're looking at Archie Bradley on his heels. He just gave up a long double. You got the top of the order coming up. The reigning MVP two batters later, and a guy hitting 300 at the age of 23, hitting after the Brewers' hottest hitter in Lorenzo Cain right now. Changes the at-bat, makes it 2-2, low grounds out. And Keston Hira battles for a 9-pitch walk, and Christian Yelich gets to the dish. Unable to convert, a ground out ends the threat and ends the game. It's a 5-2. Diamondbacks win. 414-799-1250. Players weekend across Major League Baseball. I thought the Whites were tremendous, but if you were at the game and you had trouble telling who was who on the field today, I would like to know that. Because that was, I think, the argument that a lot of people will make, and understandably so. Dude, it was difficult to figure out where the Yasmanian Devil was.
Yeah, it was, and I'm the...
But I thought they were sweet.
I'm the exact opposite. I liked the black uniforms. I did not like the white uniforms.
Okay.
But, you know, it's disappointing because it's Players Weekend. It's supposed to be fun. Half of the nicknames were boring and lame.
Well, we'll run through some of those because I want to know which ones Jeff Orlowski did not like. Because you have an eclectic taste. Sometimes you get fired up by certain nicknames. I know one that I think you're going to definitely like, although I think he could have stepped up his game a little bit.
Okay, well, I think Eddie Cedar. That's an awesome one. Eddie Love.
Eddie Love has a lot of love to give. And we got a lot more coming up next at the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show, 105.7 FM The Fan.
Let's add this one up, Brewers fans. Time to go inside the box score. Brought to you by the Laborers International Union, Local 113. Feel the power at LIUNA113.org.
Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show here on 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 on the AM side. I'm Bill Baby Tao Schmidt. Appreciate you hanging out after a Brewers loss, but a series win, so feel good. Be happy. Be excited. You also walked out with a Yasmani Grandal bobblehead today. I'm a big fan of how they at least gave a little bit of character to Yasmani, and you have him doing, you know, the bull or whatever it is, the celebration tactic, because nobody just wants the guy in the batting stands. Am I fair on that?
Because absolutely.
First off, they break every time.
Yep.
If you got a six-year-old, the kid already broke it on the way home, or it didn't even get out of the park before the bat was broken or lost. So just get rid of the bat. Do something fun. Like when Prince Fielder had the bat when he was like chilling up, standing upright, and they had like the king, the crown on him or something. Or the pitcher in the motion. That makes sense.
Yep.
The catcher sitting down with the Damian Miller removable mask. That's cool. Get the regular bat out of there. Good work by the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah.
If anyone wants to drop one off as well, you can at the radio station. I'd be very, very happy with that as well. Let's go inside the box score with Laborers Local Union 113. Leading off for the Crew today, he had been their hottest hitter, hitting over 400 in the last 7 days. Lorenzo Cain posts an 0 for 5 today and ends up with a couple of tough luck outs. And at the top of the lineup, Brewers had the opportunity 3 different times with their leadoff guys up, top of the order, unable to convert twice, went 3 up, 3 down. Keston Hira, 1 for 3 day, scored a run, struck out twice. Christian Yelich ends up with a 2-hit performance. And Ryan Braun, now 2 for 3 today with an RBI. Sac fly is the way that he scores the run. And Ryan Braun's average all the way up to 290. Ryan Braun having a very, very resurgent second half.
Yeah, he's getting it done, that's for sure. And every time that I'm getting close to, you know, calling him old and thinking that, sun might be setting, Ryan Braun just swings a nice bat.
Yasmani Grandal an 0-for-3 with a walk. Mike Moustakas 0-for-2. He reached base on a free pass one time. Eric Thames, the pinch hitter, could not convert. Manny Pena leaves the yard. His only hit of the day was a solo shot. Orlando Arcia 0-for-2 with a couple of walks, 227 average, and a 659 OPS for Orlando Arcia. Just not good. Not good enough, especially if you're going to be penciled into that starting lineup at the shortstop position every single day. Corey Spangenberg would come in and play third base, get a couple of at-bats, have a big double there in the ninth inning, part of the rally that could not be as the Brewers ended up bringing the tying run to the plate in Christian Yelich. Zach Davies only lasts 4 innings, gives up 4 hits and 4 earnies, 3 Ks for Zach today. Devin Williams ends up with a 1 inning of work, 3 hits, a earned run as well for your boy Devin Williams, or Dave. I'd like to know what Dave was for Devin Williams. I thought it was Dev that maybe somebody messed up.
No, I think it's Dave because I think people don't realize that it's Devin. Or, you know, because Devin's kind of a, you know, quote unquote different name that, you know, oh, I know it starts with a D. I'm just going to call him Dave. So I think it's because people mess up his name all the time.
Now, my favorite nickname of the weekend, and no, it's not Batboy from Zach Davies. My man, Ray Black. Blackout.
Yeah.
Awesome. Can we say that there was a more fitting nickname? If you watch Ray Black, first off, the dude looks a little bit unstable, and I love every single second of it, but I'm here for all of it. This dude walks out there with, I don't know if he just takes a shower before he walks into the game, but his hair is always drenched. There's no way you're sweating that much. Dude, as somebody that's all sitting in here with two different rags to dust off the sweat, there's no way your hair is that sweaty. So I don't know what he does, but I'm here for all of it. Ray Black comes in and tosses a scoreless frame, scatters one hit and a strikeout, 22 pitches for Ray Black tonight. Drew Pomeranz comes in with six Ks, lines him up and sits him down. Two clean innings for Drew Pomeranz, and Josh Hader ends up getting into the game. Are you kidding me? Moment of the game with Gene Wagner plumbing. Josh Hader pitching in a 5-2 game where you are down in the ninth inning. That is how far the Brewers have been from using Josh Hader in a game. And also in the same vein, Jeff, how far they've been away from getting an actual opportunity to get Josh Hader into the ballgame.
Hader hasn't pitched in over a week,
So
he needed an inning. Now, I don't understand why you do it today when you got the St. Louis Cardinals coming tomorrow.
Right. I didn't get it, Jeff, from this vantage point. You were down there at Miller Park today. You heard from Counts today. And yesterday, when I was down there, we're holding the mic and talking to Counts before the game. He talks about he wants to be more aggressive in opportunities to get Josh into the game yesterday.
Right.
They were leading 3-0.
Yeah.
That is the opportunity you get Josh Hader into the game. Now, I understand maybe you don't want to put him in a closing situation. Fine. I thought when you said expanding the zones for where you'd see Josh, I thought it opened up more of an opportunity for him to get placed back into that role that he was in last year, coming in like the sixth or seventh and trying to lock you down for three or four outs. Interesting scenario where they bring him in tonight. 14 pitches, though, 12 strikes, and Josh definitely looked a little bit more on his game.
Yeah, he definitely did. But, yeah, I agree with you 1,000%. He should have thrown him yesterday, and then he could have had today off to just be fully rested for when the Cardinals come to town. You can use him two. You can use him all three games. It's kind of a head-scratcher.
Just a monstrous week of Brewers baseball that you have coming up here. You get three at home against the Cards, and then you go to Wrigley Field for a pivotal three-game stretch that if you – I don't know exactly the right way to phrase this, but even if you lose the series and it's not good against the Cardinals, the next weekend is so big in the standpoint of – you can let the Cardinals run away with this division. And it kind of appears that if any team is going to, I don't know where you stand on this, Jeff, it feels like if any team's going to run away with it right now, it is the Cards. They are finally getting really healthy. They had Matt Carpenter out for pretty much all year. They haven't gotten all of the production you would have thought from Paul Goldschmidt, but he went on a tear for 2.5 weeks. They were the best team in baseball after a month, 19-10. They win 8 games in the month of May. Then level off, make their way through the month of June, start to get warm in July, and they have got red hot. They have gone on fire here in the last couple of weeks, and they have the opportunity to run away with it. Right now, they're up 7-2 and hitting in the bottom half of the fourth inning, trying to close out the Colorado Rockies, Cubbies, and Nats in a 5-5 game in the top half of the 10th inning right now. But the Brewers lose it as we finish up the box score. 5 runs, 9 hits, no errors for the D-backs and the Brewers. 2 runs on 7 hits and an error for Craig Counsell's crew, now 67-63. We'll go inside the clubhouse. We'll also hear from manager Craig Counsell, still to come here on the program, as you begin to dissect where you're going to be after this next week. It's going to be one of those runs where it's put up or shut up time now if you're the Milwaukee Brewers. We all know that. You're going to need the best baseball you've played, or better than the best baseball you've played, and that's tough because you started the year out 8-2. You're going to need for the next 2 weeks. I don't like saying must-win games. We had this debate on the big show, and Leroy Butler called me crazy. For the next 2 weeks, they're about as close to a must-win sprint to the finish as you can get in baseball. It is as close as you will find, because you are going to have the opportunity to play the two teams ahead of you and also a damn good baseball team in the Houston Astros, arguably the best team in baseball. But all year long, the argument hasn't been the Brewers playing well against good teams.
Right.
It's been that they haven't been able to capitalize when the talent level's lower, when they go down to the competition. Interesting scenario of where you are at the end of this week, and a little bit of the forward thinking that we do with Forward Financial Partners moving forward together. Find your way forward at FFPWI.com. It begs the question of if the Brewers are able to play their best baseball here in the next 2 weeks, because that's what it's going to take. And who is the number one key outside of Christian Yelich? I have two that I believe are as close to must-hit guys here in the next 2 weeks for you to be able to get into this stretch and bring yourself back into the race here. Right now, you're going to wake up tomorrow probably 4.5 games out. That's not as much hanging in the thick of things as Craig Counsell talked about a couple of days ago.
No, it's not. But when you're a team that's sort of scuffling right now like the Brewers are, you want nothing more than to face the teams that are ahead of you
100%.
In the standings.
Yep.
That is the quickest and best way for you to make up ground and make up ground in a hurry. So this is actually, yes, it is a tough, you know, 2 week stretch of games here for the Crew. But this is where they need to be. And if they can sit there and get hot these 2 weeks, man, all of a sudden, it's a completely different story.
There's two players that I think are key for the Brewers to go on the run they need in the next week, and there's one reason why they can. We'll have that for you next at the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Pitching is nearly everything in baseball, but it doesn't always go as planned. Let's see who got lit up tonight. Sponsored by Heiser Automotive. Today's your day. Online at Heiser.com.
Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show, 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM in the radio.com app. I'm Bill Baby Tao Schmidt. Appreciate you hanging out. There's more to the story about Devin Williams' nickname. This is from Scott on Twitter saying, "Come on, Polish Pipe Bomb. You're better than that."
Sorry, Scotty. I apologize. What's the 411?
I don't know. Apparently there's just more to the story, Scott says, than Devin Williams having just the nickname on there for people thinking that it's mispronounced. I like that idea. I think that is part of it, that it could just be that it gets mispronounced all the time and people just shorten it in that sense. But as somebody that utilizes a nickname, Jeff, I don't understand some people's inability to understand them.
Same here, but okay, Scott. So I need to be better because I didn't know what his nickname was from Devin and Dave. But you're going to sit there and send a tweet, say, "I know what it is," and then you're not going to spill the beans on
seriously.
What it is? Come on, do better, Scott.
Yeah,
come on.
Don't rob us, Scott. You need to be. You're better than that,
Scott.
Yeah,
you're better than that.
Come
Stop
on,
teasing
Scott.
Us, brother.
Unbelievable. Who got lit up in tonight's game? It's always brought to you by Heiser Automotive. Today is your day, online at Heiser.com. He's gotten lit up here for the last few weeks, and his name is Zach Davies. He now falls to 8-7. This dude started the year 7-0, did Zach Davies. His ERA was at 3.9 coming into today's game, and it only goes up from there after the loss today. Just four innings of work, four earnings for Zach. He sits at a 3.9, and he's here now on the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show.
Your day went today. I mean, it didn't look like you were getting hit all that hard, just a couple of things here and there.
Yeah, you know, mistakes hurt at this level. I didn't pitch well enough today. Threw a lot of pitches and was unable to stay in the game past four innings. So, you know, it was chalk it up to a bad game.
Craig said their speed was really a factor, especially maybe LeCastro in that first inning. Do you think there was a shot at a double play there?
It's possible, but, you know, at the end of the day, whatever happens, that's out of your control. Obviously, you can't do anything about. So, you know, you go out there and you try and make pitches after the fact.
When you know the situation, you guys are, you know, the schedule's getting shorter, you have this chance. Is there more pressure you're putting on yourself in these starts? I mean, do you feel that at this point yet, or is it just going out there and this is your job today?
You know, there's 162 games in the season for a reason. Every game's important, so there's no added pressure at this point in the year. Obviously, it comes down to this point in the year, but You know, every game matters. Every game's important. I'm not going to go out there in the first game of the year, for me, different than I did this game, the 24th or 25th game. You know, there's a lot of baseball to be played, too, so there's a lot of more important games coming up as well.
How do you look at this coming week in particular, Zach, the two teams you're chasing and, you know, you're going to...
You know, at this point in the year, you always, like, playing against guys in the division, you know, it's could create some swings. So, you know, hopefully we go and play our best ball here in this next week against two division rivals and, you know, the two teams that we're chasing and, you know, kind of change the standings a little bit.
When you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not. So when it comes to the crew, who's hot and who's not?
.1057 FM, The Fan. There's Zach Davies after the game. I like the question there by Brandon Cruz, I believe it was, where you look at, is there more of a pressure on you at this point to start performing the best you have and to have the best run of the season right now, knowing the situation you're in? And it's a difficult question to ask. It's also, I think, a tougher question to answer. Of course I understand where we are in the situation. I know that there's 30 games left. But can I come out here and say, well, yeah, but, you know, for what I've done right now, I'm just not getting it done, so I don't know exactly what we're going to have to do, but something's got to change. Now, Yolish Chacin somewhat did say that.
Yes, he did.
Before he went on the IL, he got asked point blank, you know, do you think you stay in the rotation? I believe Hargecourt asked him the question. And yeah, Yolish, to his credit, said, frankly, I haven't done anything to stay in the rotation. And these guys are smart, man. They understand where they're at. They understand the situations at hand. They understand where they are in the game. Dude, they've been playing the game their entire life. But it changes when you know where the expectation level is. Also, when the expectation level is different outside of the building than it is inside the building. Those dudes also are able to rationalize a little bit more than I think fans are. And I don't think it's a disservice to either one or a discredit to either base, fans or players. They understand, I think, a little bit more what it means for Woody to be down. They understand and feel the intensity of having all five of the guys who started the year out of the rotation. A couple of weeks ago, you didn't have anybody you started the year with in the middle of August. So I think where they are at, Jeff, and you pointed out Adrian Hauser earlier on in the program, they have Chase Anderson and Adrian Hauser in the starting rotation. Also, Gio Gonzalez, who wasn't signed by anybody when we started spring training. Adrian Hauser was hoping maybe he'd be able to crack the 25-man roster. Didn't necessarily believe it. Chase Anderson started the year in the damn bullpen.
Yep.
They signed him for $7.5 million for a two-year deal each year to be a member of the starting rotation. And they weren't able to get it done, prove that they were able to get it done. But Chase Anderson right now has been your most consistent starter.
He has.
So I think some in some vein, there's a realness to what Zach Davies says there. But I also think there's a calmingness that they find in the sense of, guys, this is our down year where we've had just about everything go wrong that could go wrong. They still sit in a pretty decent spot right now.
Like I said, they're absolutely in a great spot, especially having so many games against the Cubs and Cardinals left to play here down the stretch. And, you know, you want to move up in the standings, prove it, earn it, get it done.
Yeah,
you get it done against those two teams, you're going to be sailing your way into the postseason. If you don't, you don't. And you're going to be booking tee times a lot earlier than you expected at the beginning of the season.
So the Brewers start up a stretch here now after the Diamondbacks leave town. You win the three-game series. You win the season series against the D-backs 5-2. Nationals just put up a run in the top half of the 11th inning. It's now 6-5 Washington over Chicago down at Wrigley Field. So one of the two teams that you're chasing, and you'll see them over next weekend. You'll also host them in two weekends from right now at Miller Park. Yasmani Grandal. In the month of August, hitting .250. But in the last 7 days, starting to pick himself back up. As you look at who's hot, who's not, but more importantly, who needs to get hot for the Brewers to be able to capitalize on the situation that we've been talking about, where they have the opportunity to play the teams that they are trailing and be able to pick up games each night against those teams. Yasmani Grandal, for the slump that he went in the month of June and July, as he hit just over 240 in the month of June, and July slumped under 235, he's bounced back very, very nicely here, especially in the last 15 days, hitting over 300, drawing his walks as he has all year long. But Yasmani Grandal, for as much as they're going to depend on him, both at first base and behind the dish, I think you're going to see a little bit more of Manny Pena here in the next couple of games. But Eric Thames has done nothing to lose his job over there at first base. But where Yasmani Grandal in this next two-week stretch is crucial is how much he is able to give protection to those top guys in that lineup when you look at 1, 2, 3, and 4, Kane, Hira, Yelich, Moose.
Yeah, Yasmani Grandal, his spot in the order is huge. And if he is slumping, then that means that they can sit there and, you know, basically go after Yelich and Hira because you don't have to worry about RBIs coming out of Grandal. So, yes, I think he is hugely important. Eric Thames, you know, like you said, he's done nothing to lose the job of the everyday first baseman. You know, when you look back to when Jesus Aguilar was traded, who would have thought that in less than a month you'd be sitting here like, Jesus who? Because when's the last time you thought of Jesus Aguilar? Because that's how well Eric Thames has been playing at first base.
Yeah, he's really picked it up, and he's had the contract year that you hoped that he would have. Scott is coming back at us with the Devin Williams Dave information. Quote, that's my hard-throwing alter ego, Devin Williams apparently said. Brewers minor leaguer Luke Barker was the mastermind behind the name. It came when Devin Williams started to throw in the upper 90s to 100 at AA Biloxi earlier this year. Come on, guys. Well, thanks, Scott. We're glad that you finally shared the story with the class. It's like when you bring in, it's like when you brought in snacks, right? When you knew you weren't allowed to eat in class.
Uh-huh.
I did this quite often. I know you're surprised as the pear-shaped youth I was. You bring in snacks and the teacher always looks over at you. William? Did you bring enough to share? I mean, if everybody just takes like really small bites of this Snickers bar, I think we could maybe make it last. But no, I didn't. So, Scott, we appreciate you sharing with the classroom. That was a good story about Devin Williams' nickname. One of the lower level nicknames, I think. Yasmanian Devil, I was a big fan of.
Yeah. Yep. That's a good one.
I can only imagine you were a fan of your boy, Eric Thames, going with the E.T. phone home. But it would have been probably better for a Jeff Orlowski if you would have just put, like, Slayer on the back, right?
Slayer, Metal Man, something like that I would have loved. But yeah, no, phone home, that is fantastic.
The Love You Ties were a good tribute to Tyler Skaggs as he passed away. Those guys all in California, Moose, Yelich, and Braun. I know Ryan Braun, more of the three, was really close with Tyler Skaggs, and they used to all work out together out in Northern California, and in the offseason, you build a bond with those guys across the league, and the brotherhood runs deep for those guys, so that was cool to see. Also, Pineapple is always a great one that you get with Manny Pena. The El Nino, I don't necessarily think is all that funny with Orlando Arcia. I don't necessarily get it. Three Kids, though, I think takes the cake with Lorenzo Cain.
Three Kids is good. I like Big Salt from Big Maddie Albers.
Gotta love that.
I think Big Salt is a good one. You know,
Kess Daddy is a classic. I mean, like, for whoever gave Keston Hira the nickname Kess Daddy, it's outstanding. It's a great Twitter handle. It was one of the first things I noticed when he got drafted by the Brewers, and Bart and I had him on just before his birthday when he was playing at Class Low A up in Wisconsin. I was like, dude, Kess Daddy. So how did that start? He goes, you know, can't really remember, but I think it's pretty sweet. Like, yeah, dude, it is. It's a pretty cool nickname. So I like that you at least allow these guys to open up and have a little bit of excitement, add a little bit something to the game. Some people didn't like the uniforms. I thought the all-whites were sweet. That's also because I used to always love rocking the all-whites when we were playing ball. Under the lights, all-whites look a lot better.
Yeah, they do. They do. I just... You know, there are so many bad nicknames. You know, I do like the fact that they let them put emojis on it. Drew Pomeranz. Good had work. A palm tree.
Yep.
You know, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
You had Jeremy Jeffress, who had the bread and the butter emoji
yep.
on
Big
his.
Fan.
You know, that stuff is good. But, you know, some of them, man, just bad.
Blackout just, is tremendous, though.
Blackout
I mean,
is phenomenal. And, you know, I think you like him because he comes out with his hair dripping wet.
He's
like
nuts.
A wrestler.
Yes.
Like a wrestler coming out of the locker room.
Amazing.
Walking to the stage, glistening, and all that. There
100%.
You go.
I think we should now make Ray Black's entrance music when he walks into the game, hit the glass shatter, and it's the Stone Cold theme, and he just trots out. Just looking mad.
Chugging beers on his way to the mound.
Awesome. Well, if it was Adrian Hauser, we might need a waste bucket up at the top of the mound. 414-799-1250. Still a little bit of time for you. We hear from Craig Council next. But first, it's the spark of the game. Brought to you by Current Electric. Find your superhero electricians at callcurrent.com. Spark of the game. Well, it was going to be Lorenzo Cain being able to open you up in that ninth inning, a tough call by Lance Barksdale behind the plate, changes the entire count, goes from 3-1 to 2-2. Lo Cain would then end up grounding out, but the spark was the Brewers having the opportunity, bringing the tying run in a game where you were down 5-0 at one point, give you the opportunity to tie the game in the eighth and ninth inning. Brewers brought the tying run to the dish. That's good stuff, and that at least shows progress. Good teams do work against other teams' bullpens. We'll hear what Craig Council thought next. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag Admirals50, starting up the 50th year of Milwaukee Admirals hockey at UWM Panther Arena coming up on October 12th. Home opener. Looking forward to it. I will be there. You should too. MilwaukeeAdmirals.com for tickets. Keep it right here. Craig Council's next on The Fan.
So, what's the skipper got to say about this game? Let's find out. Here's the scoop from the skipper, brought to you by Bryant and Stratton College Athletics, offering athletic scholarships in 15 junior college sports. Learn more at bscbobcats.com. This is the only station Brewers fans need before and after the game. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
And it's also live on 1250 AM, 105.7 FM in the radio.com app. It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. I'm Bill Baby Tausch Schmidt. Appreciate you hanging out. A couple of more minutes left. Jeff Orlowski's here as well as Evan, Mark, Heffelfinger, just continuing to dissect this stuff. And I know this is a baseball show, but this Andrew Luck situation is just, it's tantalizing for sports talk radio. I mean, all the scenarios of how it goes down and when it goes down, it opens conversation all across the board. Now, Jeff, can you think of a baseball comparison to Andrew Luck, 29 years old? Chuck Pagano just released a statement, talked about all the success that Luck has had, and I think some of it's been overlooked of what he's done in just his seven-year career. But somebody just walking away at the peak of their power, but in a sense where, dude, it probably was time. I mean, like, when you think about Andrew Luck with the injuries that he had, probably was time.
You know, he got to go out on his own terms, and so I definitely give him credit for that. We were talking about it in the Brewers Clubhouse pregame today. I just don't understand the people that are yelling at the fans for booing.
Sure.
Because, yes, you're at home. You're at Lucas Oil. It's a preseason game. You know, all the people, especially the season ticket holders, who dropped thousands upon thousands of dollars for the season.
And they love that team.
They love the team, and their franchise yep. quarterback quits with 2 weeks to go before the games start mattering. And I can definitely understand why people were booing. If the same thing happened to Aaron Rodgers, and you find out in the middle of a game.
In the middle of a game is tough,
and dude's
yeah.
on the sideline laughing and joking it out with his teammates while you're getting these texts saying that he's retiring.
Ooh. I think the toughest part about it is, and we're going to get into a ton of conversation on the Wendy's Big Show about it tomorrow, is it's the raw emotion, and it's not like he got hurt on the field, right? Like, this isn't a Kevin Durant situation.
Right.
Where you're booing a guy or cheering for a guy getting hurt, you're booing the situation. I mean, I don't think anybody has ill will towards Andrew Luck, and I could be speaking out of context. Maybe some fans do. I don't necessarily understand it, but I think you're right in that sense. I don't think you should be bashed for booing in that sense. I mean, is it a great look? Maybe not, but was giving a standing ovation for Josh Hader a great look?
No.
No. Correction of the game is by Milwaukee County House of Correction, and that's just it as the situation at hand with Andrew Luck. I don't think that people need to be corrected in the sense of the booing him walking off the field, but, I mean, he was a heck of a football player. Really was. It's going to be tough watching him this year. It's been a lot of fun to watch. Craig Counsell's crew loses today 5-2. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Here's the skip after the game.
Was it kind of just a matter of getting Ray out of there to get some offense going, get some opportunities?
Well, I thought we had opportunities against Ray. I mean, I thought we had a bunch of opportunities against him. You know, we had a bunch of base runners. You know, again, we just didn't get the next hit, which wasn't there today.
Same sort of in the eighth and ninth? I mean,
down 5-0, we got the tying run. You know, we had, four at-bats with the tying run at the plate. So, you know, we did a good job battling back and scoring some runs and having some innings where, something good was, one hitter away from happening. Just couldn't finish it.
Some of the pros and cons with using Josh in a game where you're down by three, I'm assuming it's just a matter you need to get him work after 8 days off.
Yeah, you just answered the question. Yeah.
Availability for tomorrow?
You know, we'll wait and see how he feels for sure. But, other guys have to rest too. Yeah. So, but Josh not pitching 8 days, he needed to pitch. And we had to get him out there, and so we got out there.
You don't care that the next game is the first place team? Is that not?
Well, we got to get the other guys rest too. We do. I mean, that's part of this. And to expect Josh to be good after not taking the mound for long stretches of time, that's not how it works either. He's got it. You know, that we kind of got to a point. We got long enough, and today was the day we needed him to pitch.
What did you think about Zach today?
I think he just made a couple mistakes. Really, the 3-0 pitch to. We didn't do any favor. First inning, their speed got them runs in the first inning. I thought that was the big thing. They outran a couple balls, really impressive. And then he just 3-0 guy aggressive guy took a good swing on probably a middle ball, and that really hurt him. The rest of Escobar made a mistake, and he didn't really necessarily pitch poorly after. I wouldn't say pitch poorly after that. We just, we had to hit for him after four, and, they kind of hit a little ground ball that got him another run. So the home runs got him today, really.
Is that the potential double play ball in the first inning, one that you think Keston wants? Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's an out, really. I mean, I think LeCastro beats it the way we saw it. LeCastro beats it no matter what. So that's kind of what I'm referring to in the speed. That ball he beat out in the ninth inning was – that's as good as you'll see down the line.
Saw some electricity from Pomeranz. I'm not sure if you've seen that before. Six.
Yeah, he was great today. It was outstanding. We got him a little rest, and he's been feeling good. So that was great to see, man. He was electric today for sure. Yeah, similar to his first outing against Chicago.
That's Craig Counsell after the game today here on the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Appreciate you hanging out. And Mark Heffelfinger behind the board did a great job today on the first episode of Fantasy Football Weekly. Tim Allen and myself. Now, Tim Allen off tonight. He's rocking out some Hall & Oates. And Jeff, I know your musical taste is a little bit different than maybe a Hall & Oates at this point.
A little bit, yeah.
But, I mean, they still get it done, don't they? Hall & Oates, Man Eater, Rich Girl, No Can Do.
I've heard Man Eater, and I don't know the other two.
She's a Man Eater. I could give you a little something. I could.
Watch out, boy, she'll chew
you. Oh, yeah.
I know that one. I know that one.
Tim Allen living his best life out there in Madison, enjoying the show. I can only imagine. The cold ones are flying back for the franchise, and we'll hear all about it tomorrow night when he's back here on the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Hopefully, after a Brewers W, which would be huge as they lose today. Win the series, though, against the D-backs. They win the season series by the score of today's final, 5-2. Diamondbacks get the win. They're now 65-66. Crew at 67-63. It's a final from Wrigley. Cubs lose. Woohoo! And the Brewers will be down at Wrigley Field coming up next weekend. Start of a three-game set there. And did you know? Did you know? Brewers-Cubs will be the same night as Bears-Packers.
Wow.
That's exhilarating stuff. Thursday, September 5th. That starts up. It's in the middle of this two-week stretch that the Brewers are about to embark on here. Three at home against the Cardinals. Three on the road against the Chicago Cubs. Two at home against the Houston Astros. And then four at home against those Chicago Cubs. Brewers have it all in front of them. Tomorrow, an early start at 6 p.m. We'll get you going with the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck show. Presented by Allegra Allergy Relief at 5:30. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show after the game. Franchise and myself, Bill Baby Tao Schmid, will talk baseball with you, and hopefully the Brewers able to close out on those St. Louis Cardinals. Cardinals about to close out a W out in Colorado and make themselves 4.5 game leaders in the NL Central. That's going to do it for us. Thanks to our crew down hustling at Miller Park. Appreciate it. Evan, Mark Heffelfinger, great job today as always. And Jeff Orlowski, this was fun hanging out with you, talking some Brewers baseball. We'll be back at it coming up here shortly as Brewers baseball with the last 30 games to play. Crew in a stretch run. Keep it right here for the fan. We got it all year long.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.